Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 7, day 2 of the study of Revelation. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Revelation chapter 13. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/Revelation week 7. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Click subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Store to get this Bible study 5 days a week for your commute, workout, or wherever else you may listen. I want to encourage you to do something very special over the next few weeks. Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, has asked us to pray to end Bible poverty worldwide. We need believers and unbelievers reading the Bible so they can know God. Would you consider praying to end Bible poverty on a weekly and daily basis? If so, would you please go to endbiblepovertynow.com and sign up to pray? With that, why don't we go ahead and pray before we start? Lord, would you end Bible poverty worldwide? Would you cause your people to begin reading your word on a daily basis? Would you provide your beautiful word to every tongue on earth? Raise up translators, messengers, missionaries, and workers for your global harvest through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into Revelation. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Revelation 13:1. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but it had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshiped the dragon because he had given his authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" So first, we have to look back here at who this dragon is. Now, we remember from chapter 12, this dragon is Satan. And again, this is very interesting. We talked about this yesterday. But it seems like Satan has actually been remanded to the physical realm. Now, I don't know, I can't give you a surety in that Satan no longer has access to the heavenly realms here during the tribulation period. But what it's saying here is that he stood on the shore of the sea. He is on earth. He is down here where that great angel was, again, where John saw him, where he had 1 foot on the earth, 1 foot on the sea. So this dragon is standing in this same place. So I don't know if this is a metaphor, the shore is a metaphor for where kind of heaven meets earth or what's going on here. But what we do know is this dragon is going to be seen by people because people are going to worship the dragon. Now, how he's going to be seen, I don't know, but people are going to willingly worship this dragon. People will willingly worship Satan. And you get the feeling this is much more than just the small remnant group of Satan worshipers we see today. This sounds widespread because we know that the worship of the Antichrist is going to be widespread. And speaking of which, here we're introduced to the Antichrist, this beast that comes out of the earth. The beast that comes out of the sea is the Antichrist. He has 10 horns and 7 heads and had 10 crowns on its head. And so, you know, we're given all of these pictures of what the beast resembled. You know, he looked like a leopard, but had feet like a bear and mouth like a lion. So, I mean, you know, think about that. A leopard is quick. You know, he's fast, but he has feet like those of a bear. You know, bear paws are massive and strong. You know, if you ever get into a fight with a bear, he doesn't bite you first. He whacks you around with those huge paws. So he's massive and strong. And this mouth of a lion, you know, lions roar. Their roar is the thing you can hear for miles. I don't know if you've been to a zoo or in Africa and heard lions roar, but their voice carries, it bellows and carries longer and farther than any other animal I know of. But this dragon, Satan himself, gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. Think about that. Satan's fight, Satan's war has always been for his own authority. And here he is giving the Antichrist, this beast out of the sea, he's giving him his authority. He's giving him his throne. Remember in early on in Revelation, we were talking about the churches, and Pergamum was where Satan's throne was. John says that multiple times. Now, I'm not saying that Pergamum is where the ancient city of Pergamum is where the beast's throne will be. I mean, who knows? It might, but I'm not saying that. I kind of doubt that, actually. But Satan is giving this earthly throne, this earthly authority that he has. And, you know, I think that this authority has been given to him by people. The Lord gave people dominion over the earth. And here we have, you know, Satan has authority. It's really the authority that's been given him to some extent by man. He does have heavenly granted authority that's soon to be completely stripped of him. He has very little left, but what he has, he's giving to the beast, the Antichrist. Now, the beast, the Antichrist, they are interchangeable terms here. And I think it's important to point out that there, John says in one of his epistles, you know, that there are many antichrists. You know, anybody that is against Christ is an antichrist. You know, you look at militant atheism today, and it's not atheistic, it's antichrist. And so there are many antichrists that have come and will come, but there is one capital A antichrist, one big bad dude. And this is the one we're talking about here, the lawless one, the one that is, I mean, think about this. He is going to be given his authority from Satan. Satan is handing his throne over to this guy. How bad do you have to have Satan be like, oh, you are the man, let me give you my throne? So this is the big bad dude. And it's interesting here. It says, one of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but that fatal wound had been healed. And we see later, you know, that the false prophet, the second beast, he sets up an image to worship the first beast who had been injured with the sword, but had overcome. You know, that's giving us a very descriptive language here. You know, so many people look at the Antichrist and say, well, maybe it was a political death and a resurrection or something like that. But this is physical. Something happens to this guy that's physical, and he's going to come back from it. Now, it doesn't ever say that he's died. It just says that he had a fatal wound that was healed. Maybe he does die and resurrect. Everything about what's going on here is very intentional on Satan's part, on the Antichrist's part. What we're being shown in this passage is the birth of an unholy trinity. Just as we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now we have Satan. We have the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist, anti-Messiah, and then we have the false prophet, the Holy Spirit. You know, this false Trinity, this mock Trinity. This is very intentional, and you know, Satan has designed this and found willing volunteers within two people on earth to become these two cohorts of his. And I think it's very interesting that because they see the beast, they see the Antichrist, they see how he had a fatal wound but had been healed, just like Jesus resurrected from the dead, they're going to worship him. And because they worship him and they're filled with wonder, they're going to worship the dragon, because they realize that he's the one who's given his authority to the beast. So people are going to see this. They're going to understand this. They're going to know this. People are willingly going to follow the beast and the Antichrist and Satan himself because of what they've seen. They will choose this. This will not be accidental because they don't know who these people are. They will know full well what's going on here, and they will choose to follow these two. Verse 5, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Verse 9, whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is going to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on part of God's people. Now here we see some of the activity of the Antichrist. I mean, he is literally Antichrist. He is waging war against God's people. And he's given authority for this 42 months, for the period of the tribulation. Now, I think it's important to understand, and if you've studied Revelation before, you know, you've probably heard all about the 10-nation alliance and all these things, and actually, you know, those things are very hard to understand how all that's going to work. People get kind of lost, I think, in the details of this 10-nation alliance, and everyone's always looking for where's this 10-nation alliance, and has it raised up yet? You know, when these things happen, it's not going to be smart people that figure them out. It's going to be people who are listening to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is speaking about these things, when God is releasing wisdom, that is when we will understand these things. It's not going to be smart people. And I'm going to touch on that again at the end of this passage here, at the end of this chapter. But all of these things, the 10-nation alliance and how that works, you know, I'll say I've studied this so many times and I'm still slightly confused about exactly how that's going to work, because it gets even a little bit more complicated as we go on and we look at Babylon and what's coming here in the rest of Revelation. But what I can tell you is this Antichrist, he's going to be bad as you've heard. He's going to be much worse than what you've heard, I'm sure. Because he is going to wage war against us. If you are listening to this and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he has been given authority, yes, over the earth and over all of the unredeemed people of the earth, but he's been given specific authority to make war with us, God's people. That's Christians and Jews. And this language in verse 7, it's troubling. It grieves me. Let's read it again. It was given power, this beast was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. That is one of the most powerful statements in the book of Revelation. God has allowed Satan to raise this man up and then give him his authority. And then God has granted him authority to wage war with his people. Now we've seen over and over that there's supernatural protection. God is giving different people protection, supernatural protection from the various things that are going on in the end times. But here he's saying that he is specifically not going to give some of his people supernatural protection. Let that sink in for a moment. The Lord who loves us, he sent his son to die for us. He's going to allow some of us, some people that go through the end times, he's going to allow the Antichrist to conquer us. Now, I don't know why, but at the same time, Jesus never promised us that things would be easy. In fact, he promised us that things would be difficult for us while we were here on earth. But he promised us that it would be worth it. He promised us eternal life. Now, I'm not going to minimize this life that we have now, this opportunity that we have to live life now. I love life. I love living life, but I don't love it so much that I would shrink from death to maintain it. That's who we are, believers, that we would not love our lives so much as we would love them unto death. We're not going to fight to stay alive and deny Jesus. That's who we are as believers. And I think this is interesting. John tells us right here, if anyone is to go into captivity they will go. And if anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. Now read that in a few different translations and you'll understand the difficulty that the translators had getting that specific little poem out. But the point here is, listen, there's things that have been ordained for you. If you go through this season of time, if you live through the Great Tribulation, there's things that have just been ordained. Stay firm in your faith. Don't love your lives so much that you would save yourself from death by taking the mark of the beast or anything else. Don't do that. Love Jesus. And if it calls for your death, then love Jesus to death. Again, I love this life. This life is a precious gift, but it's not so valuable that we would trade it for eternity. Verse 11, then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of the people. Now remember, Jesus tells us when he's on the earth that the deception is going to be so great during these days that even the elect, even the saints would have fallen away if that were possible. He is saying that the deception here, and it's these guys, Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet, their deception is so great that people within the church, people who you know, maybe you grew up with, if you're going through this time, they're turning away. Now, I think Jesus is saying here, his people, his true people will not turn away, but there are going to be people in churches, deacons, pastors, leaders even, who are going to turn away. Charlatans who have been faking it for a long time, they will turn away because of the deception that's going on. Because of these signs, it was given power to perform, this is verse 14, on behalf of the first beast. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. So somehow, the false prophet here, this second beast, the false prophet sets up this image of the first beast, and through technology or magic or something, he causes this image to have some kind of like supernatural autonomy or technological autonomy so that it can actually give the death sentence to people who will not worship this image. Verse 16, it also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads. So they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Now, this is important to understand here. This is given to the people who are worshiping the beast. This is part of the war that he's waging against us, his people. We won't take the number. We won't take his name. We refuse it. And so he makes war against those who will not take it. Those who do, it's not just an oops moment. Many people are afraid that they're going to accidentally take the mark of the beast. You have to understand that what is going on during this time is completely other than what you're experiencing now. What's going on during this time period is like nothing else in human history. You will not accidentally take this mark. You cannot accidentally take this mark. You will willingly take this mark. Now, it may be a decision. It's, you know, my family is going to starve to death if I don't take this mark. It may be decisions like that. It may be very difficult decisions, but you will not accidentally take this mark. I promise you. Let's finish up here with verse 18. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. Now, almost everybody on planet Earth has heard of the mark of the beast, and it's this number 666. It's the number of man, which is six, repeated three times. I think it's interesting that John says this calls for wisdom. We need to calculate the number of the beast. Understand what he's not saying here with wisdom. He's not saying, let smart people figure this out. He's saying wisdom. This calls for wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. We need prophetic insight when the time comes to calculate the number of beasts, because it is going to be hidden, but it's not going to be hard. I want to make that very clear. He's not saying, let smart people figure this out. He's saying, let God's people seek the Lord and understand what's going on here. We need to understand the number of the beast, and we will get that wisdom from God himself, not from our own smarts. Well, we've run long today. That's going to be all the time we have for the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's the best way to let other people know about this podcast. And I'd also love to hear from you. You can email me to send an email to me@darrenhibbs.com. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.